stem cell research broadened its support in 2004 and 2005, with one Pew Center poll capturing the critical nuances as follows. 57% thought it more important to conduct research for new medical cures than to avoid destroying the potential life of embryos. 30% disagreed. As for the Schiavo case, majorities of 65 to 75% were angry with Congress and the White House for trying to interfere. However, without that circumstance, the divisions would have been closer, inasmuch as opinion only narrowly supports 51% to 40% giving terminally ill patients the means to end their own lives. What makes these issues so pivotal, obviously, is that they touch most families. They pluck at the theology of virtually every religious denomination and belief system. Equally to the point, the beliefs involved put public policymakers in every young woman's medical consultations and in every aged parent's last hospital room or hospice. The greater the scientific advances in biomedicine and drug therapy, the greater the potential response of office holders anxious to ingratiate themselves with the demands of the Traditional Values Coalition, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Christian Coalition, and Concerned Women for America. These prospects dwarf the old culture wars of the 1980s, with their shallow confrontations over the famous Willie Horton advertisement designed to inflame racial feelings and the proposed constitutional amendment to prohibit flag burning. Zealots burden both sides. Theocrats promoting church-state collusion will hurt their conservative friends. So, too, for inquisitors out to terrorize the National Institutes of Health with lists of sexually unacceptable research projects. Gay bashers in Georgia may hurt conservatism, but gay marriage demonstrators in the streets of San Francisco do no favor to liberals. Indeed, demonizing the other side's extremists has often been a particularly successful tactic. From 2000 through 2004, as noted, the Republicans were generally shrewder. To begin with, they held the votes of economic conservatives who were secular but little influenced by the cultural and religious debate. Right after the 2004 election, the commentator E. J. Dion pointed out that Bush got the votes of 38% of those who believed abortion should be legal in most cases, and 22% of those who favored gay marriage. Similarly, after constructing a profile of gray area voters on the abortion issue, Newsweek found that Democrats narrowly lost these voters in 2002 and 2004, even though more of them leaned pro-choice, in considerable part because liberal rhetoric attuned to the solidly pro-choice voter did not work for those more philosophically conflicted. The judicial vacancies of 2005 sharpened voter awareness of both the influence of the religious right in Washington and the stakes of the new nominations and the eventual Supreme Court battles. Some politicians and pundits saw the Democrats benefiting as the threat posed by realigned courts to abortion rights under Roe v. Wade became more tangible. Conservatives had enjoyed kindred benefits in the late 1960s and early 1970s as the federal courts were seen by many swing voters to align themselves with permissive criminology. Defendants' rights supposedly being put above victims' rights, and unpopular proposals for educational and residential racial balance. This new agenda displaced the woeful 1964 dialogue in which conservatives had been electorally mauled for opposing basic civil rights in such areas as public accommodations and voting.